Welcome back. It's the Speak Your Peace podcast. My name is Ian McNaughton, Big E. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for listening. And in case you missed it, last week I basically gave an update on the SYP pod. I called it SYP 4.0 because I think this is like the fourth version of said podcast. Basically, every week I'll be doing an episode. It'll be recorded on Monday, dropped on Tuesday. And that's what you're getting here. You're getting your new episode. You're welcome. You don't have to thank me. You don't have to. I'm not expecting that. I'm not asking for that. But you're welcome. You get a podcast. I got my sleepy time tea here. So I got a bit of a run sheet. Got a bit of an agenda. We'll see how much of it I go through. Maybe all of it. Maybe some of it. We'll see. See how the show goes. Again, once a week, pretty easy, should be a good listen. I think you guys will enjoy it. I want to talk about something that's interesting to me, and I'm going to dive right into it here. I want to discuss the Chicago Bears situation. Now, for those who don't know, Chicago Bears have the first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Thanks to their trade with the Carolina Panthers last year, where the Bears also had the first overall pick, but they traded down in the draft with the Panthers. The Bears last year received the 2023 number 9 overall pick, a 2023 second round pick, which was 61st overall, a 2024 first round pick, which now it's the first overall pick because the Panthers were the worst team in the NFL this year, a 2025 second-round pick, and wide receiver DJ Moore. That's who the Bears got in their trade with Carolina last year. Panthers got the 2023 first overall pick. So, theoretically, with that trade, that sets the market for what a trade for the first overall pick would look like. Two firsts, 2 seconds, and a good roster player. That's what DJ Moore was. He was a good roster player this year for the Chicago Bears. He got over 1,000 yards. I believe he had 10 touchdowns. He was their number one receiver. He was Justin Fields' go-to weapon. So the precedent has already been set, for what a trade would look like involving a first overall pick. The previous first overall pick to be traded before 2023 was in 2016, when the Rams received the 2016 number one overall pick. They drafted Jared Goff. They got the 2016 fourth round pick, which they traded. And then they got a 2016 sixth round pick. That's what the Rams got from the Titans, where the Titans got a 2016 first round pick. That was number 15. They traded that. A 2016 second round pick. That then they also had another 2016 second round pick, which Titans used to draft Derrick Henry. A 2016 third round pick, which the Titans traded away. A 2017 first-round pick, that was fifth overall. They drafted Corey Davis, didn't work out. A 2017 third-round pick, which they used on Jonnu Smith, tight end. Wound up being the number 100th pick in the 2017 draft. So, the difference between those two trades, the Bears and Panthers last year, the Rams and Titans in 2016, the Titans traded from 15 to first. The Rams traded from 15 to first. They had to give up a two firsts, 2 seconds, two thirds. Two firsts, 2 seconds, two thirds over 3 years. The Panthers just had to give up two firsts, 2 seconds, and a star, not star, star is over exaggerating a little bit, good player. A good roster player. So, for teams that are picking between 5th overall, 10th overall in a 2023 draft, or a 2024 draft, excuse me, Bears and Panthers deal from last year is probably more likely to happen compared to if a team is picking between 11 and 20, where the Rams-Titans trade, I would think is more likely. I think overall, in general, it's mostly going to be the trade we saw last year. That's probably what the Bears are going to be looking for again. It's the same management for the Bears. They haven't fired the GM. It's the same people running the team last year, this year. So it's more than likely in most reasonable circumstances, that's what the Bears front office is going to be looking for again this year. With that, let me pull up the official draft order. But I went through 2, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams that I thought would have a reasonable chance to make a trade with the Bears. I didn't include teams that I thought already had their franchise quarterback. That would be Arizona, the Chargers, Cincinnati, and Green Bay. You can put the Jets in here. I'm including the Jets, by the way, because some of you are going to be like, oh, don't the Jets have their franchise quarterback? They do, but I think if anybody of Arizona, the Chargers, the Jets, Cincinnati, Green Bay, the Jets, I think if anybody moves on from their franchise quarterback out of those teams, it's going to be the Jets. If they can make the money work, which is the biggest thing, is just making the money work and trying to fit it all in the cap without taking so much dead money. So I'm going to go through each of these teams. I'm going to try and find what the draft capital is, their roster player that they might trade, and in the end, I'll go through the likelihood of said team trading with the Bears, if it makes sense, if it doesn't make sense. So let's get into it. So right now, picking second are the Washington Commanders. They have a 2024 first, they have a 2024 second. In 2025, they have a first and a second as well. Their quality roster player, I think that they would want to trade. I don't know if they want to trade, but could seal the deal would be Charles Leno Jr. He's their left tackle. He has one more year after this season at $15.75 million. I don't know that Washington would want to trade their left tackle. I think they're going to go through a rebuilding year, so they might want to shed $15 million, and they might really like one of the quarterbacks at the top of this year's draft, and that's why they move up one spot, because they like one guy more than the other, and they think Chicago's going to take the guy that they really want. It's right now, I should preface, in the 2024 draft, NFL draft, the top picks are looking like quarterback Caleb Williams from USC, quarterback Drake May from North Carolina, Heisman winner Jaden Daniels for LSU, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver at The Ohio State University. I think Washington is content taking whatever guy doesn't go first. I think they would like either or. It's kind of interesting because their starting quarterback right now is Sam Howell, who used to play at North Carolina. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if they take Howell's successor at UNC in Drake May. I don't know that they do that they would. We'll see. But I don't know that Washington's all that interested in trading up from 2-1. I don't think it really makes all that sense to trade so much capital to do so. But maybe they feel like they need to make a splash and they really need to have a star guy to build around. I could see them doing that. But in reality, I don't think it's worth giving up all those assets just to move up one spot. Drafting third, the New England Patriots. Patriots are interesting. I think they're letting go of Belichick. I don't know that they are letting go of Belichick. I can't say one way or the other that they will or are going to. And I think that's part of the issue with the Patriots is that we just don't know what they're going to do. We don't know who's going to be making the personnel decisions for New England this offseason going into next season. The Patriots have a first rounder and a second rounder this year. They have a first and a second rounder next year. You know, If they want to really tear it down, which that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like a New England thing to want to do, to just gut the roster and start over. That doesn't seem like a very Patriots thing to do, but it's also not the same Patriots team that we've seen over the last 25 years since I've been born. This is unlike any Pats team I've seen. I'm a little skeptical that they would want to do any sort of trade up. If anything, if Belichick's running the team, they probably want to trade down. I talked about this the last time I was on the Left Side Heavy podcast with my buddies, Jevin Lefebvre and Hayden Barton. Jevin, big Pats fan, he thinks it's more likely that the Pats are going to trade down, recoup some assets. I tend to believe him. I tend to think that's the most likely outcome, that they might just pick out inside of the top 10, maybe top 5, maybe top 10. I don't think they go much lower than that. And I don't think that they would be so inclined to trade so much draft capital for quarterback that they do need, but a quarterback that is going to take up a lot of spotlight. And New England is, under Belichick, not a big spotlight place, not a big, real, media focused market on a national scale, especially with Brady gone. But Brady got a lot of attention put on him because he was successful, because he was good, not because, he in his latter half of his career in the last few years, he became a bit more of a personality, but not so much in the first 15 years. So for the Patriots, I don't see them making a move for the first overall pick. That doesn't seem like them. That doesn't fit how they usually operate as an organization. So in that case, I'm going to say no, the Pats stay at 3 and they hold their ground. The Arizona Cardinals are the next team and they're picking 4th overall. I just don't see them making that sort of move up to first in general, because typically when you make that big of a move, it's for a marquee franchise altering player, and that player usually is that quarterback. And the Cardinals, I don't think, need a quarterback. I think they have their guy in Kyler. I think they believe in him. I think he's shown enough since coming back from injury this year that he is deserving to be the starting quarterback for another year. Albeit the Cardinals are really not good. They definitely haven't been great in years past, but they've never been as bad as they have this year. I don't think the Cardinals are that team to trade up from 4 to 1. And especially because I would think if there's, drafting 4th overall and Marvin Harrison Jr.'s there, wide receiver, they go and get him. Give Kyler another weapon. Kind of going back into all that, Cliff Kingsbury type stuff of we're going to get another receiver. I don't think it's going to be as bad, all that sort of stuff, under Jonathan Gannon. Again, Arizona's a team I could see that would trade down if they think they're trying to, maybe contend and get a few more pieces. I don't think they would. So in that case, Arizona is most likely to hold up for draft Marvin Harrison Jr. If he's not there, they're probably backing down, going to trade down and seeing what kind of assets they can get. Same with the LA Chargers. I think the new group that's coming in there, which is a new GM and a new head coach, because GM Tom Telesco was fired, head coach Brandon Staley's been fired. The new group who will be running the Chargers surely are going to want to build around Justin Herbert, who wouldn't if I think anybody with the right frame of mind would love to build around Justin Herbert. And for those guys, there's also something to be said for if the team that they build doesn't work out, they might be able to use, hey, he's not our quarterback, he's not our guy, excuse that guys in those roles like use. He's not our guy. He's not my head coach. You know, typically you get a few cracks if you're a GM. You get a few cracks with different quarterbacks or different head coaches. Especially if you didn't hire the person that they originally brought in. The example I'm going to use from a hockey perspective is the Toronto Maple Leafs, who they fired Kyle Dubas. They fired Dubas over the summer in the offseason, and they brought in Brad Treliving as the new GM, and everybody just thinks, oh, Treliving's going to fire Sheldon Keefe because, you know, we're just starting over from scratch. We're redoing everything. We're starting all over. Keefe's going to go too. Keefe hasn't gone. Keefe hasn't left yet. He's still the head coach. But it's an out for Treliving. If the team is performing poorly and they're not doing well, he can just be like, oh, yeah, that's the head coach's fault. I'm going to fire the head coach because, you know, he's not my head coach. I didn't hire him. He kept him around and he could have fired him then, but he's going to, you know, it was all fine until they were losing. And then it's a problem. And then he's not my guy. And then he's not suitable to be coaching a team. That's what the Chargers, I think, are going to do. It's some variation of that with Justin Herbert of saying, yeah, you know, he's good until he's not, and then we have to get rid of him, and he's not our, you know, not our quarterback that we originally chose. He was on the roster. The Chargers need all the assets they can get. They're not trading a whole bunch of draft picks for a quarterback. That's just not happening. If they can find some O-line help, they'll be good. They'll be solid. That is more beneficial to the team than trading up for a rookie quarterback. All right, number six, the New York Giants. I don't have a great read on them. They actually traded with the Bears in 2021 so that the Bears could get Justin Fields. I don't know that they would be so inclined to trade with them again. I believe both teams have gone through different GMs and different front offices since then. So it's not the same, you know, Giants GM, Bears GM trading like it was back in 2021 for Fields. But teams tend to remember that sort of stuff. It's partially why I don't think Washington will trade up with the Bears as well, because Washington lost the Montez Sweat trade. I think they lost the Montez Sweat trade because Sweat's been playing like dynamite since he got traded to the Bears midseason. He signed an extension with Chicago. And teams don't typically forget that, or they typically remember their losses more than they remember their wins. The losses usually sting a little bit more. That's why Washington probably isn't going to be trading with Chicago. And that's probably why the Giants are going to be trading with Chicago, because I'm sure the Giants would love to have Justin Fields more than they'd love to have Daniel Jones, who is not looking great. And they've committed a bunch of money to him, and I think they have to stick by that for another year. The Jets and the Giants are similar in that if they can find a way to make the dead money work with their guy, with their current quarterback, I could see them being players for one of the quarterbacks at the top for first overall. The Giants have a first-round pick in 2024 and 2025. They have second-round picks in 2024, 2025. And even, like, if we're really trying to, you know, hyper-focus on the trade last year with the Panthers and the Bears, the Panthers traded DJ Moore, wide receiver. Giants could trade Wendell Robinson, who's one of their young receivers. He's making, you know, $4.8 million over 2 years. He's a speed guy. He can take the top off the defense. That's a great complementary piece to DJ Moore from a wide receiver perspective for the Bears. I could see this happen. I could see the Giants working so long as they find a replacement or somebody who can take, you know, a large chunk of the Daniel Jones money off their hands. And I don't know that you can get that. I don't know that any team's going to be willing to do that. So the Giants have kind of put themselves between a rock and a hard place. with the Daniel Jones contract, which is limiting them to do other things, including trade up for first overall. So I'm going to say for the Giants, they're not going to trade up to first overall. But I'm putting an asterisk on there. If they can get real smart and real clever with the salary cap for Daniel Jones, then I could see them doing something. But otherwise, it's unlikely. All right. The Tennessee Titans. They have their draft picks needed. 2024 first, 2024 second, and 2025 first and second. They don't have a lot of options that are quality, good roster players to trade. Unless we're getting into, and they're not trading DeAndre Hopkins because I think he's actually been a guy that they can lean on and they can trust, which is nice, especially from the quarterback perspective where Ryan Tannehill has one foot out the door. Will Levis is probably not the answer. It's only been 1 year, so it might still be early to tell. He's shown glimpses of it. I don't know if he can do it for a full season. You know, being the guy, possibly. I think having D-Hop helps. That certainly, you know, certainly made Tennessee, what, a 6-win team this year. That's helped. It's helped for sure. They could also maybe see if the Bears are interested in Treylon Burks. That's a guy. That's an option. It's not Hopkins, obviously, but it's Treylon Burks. It's a wide receiver. My thing with the Titans, too, this is also, I would say, kind of just a generalization, but I'm thinking specifically for the Tennessee Titans because their offense is very vanilla. It's very basic. It's very plain because they have Derrick Henry and they haven't had great quarterback play. It's a lot of running the ball, a lot of play action. You don't see as much drop back stuff or quick game stuff as you do with other teams because the Titans just have this formula of like run the ball, play action, run the ball, play action, run the ball, which it is smart what the Titans do, why they do it, because they're playing to the strengths of their players, which is really good, and that's kind of what you should be doing. The case method, keep it simple, stupid. But I just don't see that the Titans, because they're also kind of rebuilding, I just don't see the Titans being a team that's going to make that move, that's going to trade up because they just need the draft pick. So the Titans are probably going to be a no on the Justin Fields, or excuse me, the first overall sweepstakes this year. They might be in on Fields, but probably not. They would be more likely to trade for the first overall pick for Fields. All right, here's an interesting one. The New York Jets, they don't have a second-round pick this year. I think they traded that one as part of the Rodgers trade. They do have a first this year and a third, and they have a first, second, and third in 2025. They're probably going to have to trade one of their linemen to facilitate a deal to make up for the lack of a second-round pick this year. It might be Elijah Vera Tucker. Might be Mekhi Becton. Probably Vera Tucker, I'm guessing, is... I think he's had the better year this year. That's probably who the Bears would prefer to solidify the deal. He's got 1 year, $5 million plus the option, which would probably be picked up. You know, the Jets, the Jets feel like they are a quarterback plus some more help offensively, but primarily a quarterback. That's what's kept them out of the mix for a while now. You can sit here and tell me that Aaron Rodgers is the option. I'm not going to believe you. I don't think he is. I don't think he is the guy in New York. I could be completely wrong. I would love to see the Jets take another swing at a guy like Caleb Williams or Drake May. Because the last time the Jets drafted a quarterback that high in a draft, with Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson was obviously not the right fit, not the right dude for this. Part of that, I think, is on the coaching staff, and I would be a little bit hesitant if I was a player to go to the Jets because of the coaching staff there on the offensive side of the ball. They do have weapons. They have Breece Hall. They have Garrett Wilson. So they have some guys. They do have some players. Schematically, I would be concerned. And similar to the Jets, not for nothing, that MetLife Field stinks. Like, they have the playing surface stinks. I don't know if you really want to be involved with that. But I could see the Jets absolutely convincing themselves that they need to go and get a star quarterback. And that this would be the move right here to go trade for the first overall pick and draft Williams or May. I don't know who they would prefer. That's a great question. But I could totally see the Jets. If they can find something to – if they find someone or somehow make the Aaron Rodgers cap work, if they can get rid of Rodgers, that would be great. Hell, they could keep Rodgers and still draft, you know, do the Jordan Love thing. Keep Rodgers and draft a quarterback in the first round. That would be awesome. I would love that. Just add to the chaos. But in all likelihood, it probably isn't happening. The Atlanta Falcons, I believe, are next. Let me just double check. Sorry, I went out of order. The Atlanta Falcons are next. I'm just going off my sheet, not the draft order. Atlanta Falcons are next. They are probably one of the most likely teams to make a move for the first overall pick. They have the draft capital, first and second this year, first and second next year. They have an offensive lineman that they would, you know, that they could move. Jake Matthews, Caleb McGarry, you know. I don't know who the Falcons would be comfortable giving up. I don't know all those details. I'm just saying they have linemen to trade should they want to make a trade. This is a team that has weapons. They have Drake London. They have Bijan Robinson. Tyler Allgeier is a great, you know, great dude. This team has weapons. This team has guys. Kyle Pitts is a tight end. This team has offensive weapons. They need a quarterback. Desmond Ridder, clearly not the answer. And as it turns out, Arthur Smith thought he had an extra year to work with it and didn't. And as a result, he's losing his job. This team needs a quarterback in the most desperate of ways, and if they can somehow score Williams, May, I think you'll find them putting themselves in a position to, you know, get that first overall pick to make that happen. I think there is some skepticism because the other team in the division that just did this was Carolina. They sold a house to get a guy, and that guy hasn't looked great this year, but part of that's on coaching staff. So if the Falcons are going to presumably go down this path and try and find a dude at quarterback and get him at the first overall in the first overall at the at first overall, They're going to try. They're going to go for it. I see the Falcons being one of the most, like, the highest percentage, one of the highest percentage chance teams to doing this. And this being the best option for a quarterback. They could also just trade for Fields. They don't necessarily, because I think Fields would be cheaper than trading for the first overall pick. They might just trade for Fields straight up. But if they want to go get the first overall pick and they think that Caleb Williams or Drake May has a higher ceiling, they can go do that as well. You have the Bears drafted at 9. We talked about the Jets. The Minnesota Vikings at 11. They have the capital needed. They're division rivals with the Bears. They're probably not going to want to trade within division. The Bears would probably ask for another wide receiver like Jordan Addison or maybe a lineman, and I just don't see that happening. I'm curious to see where their QB situation takes them, but I don't see them making any trades with the Bears. I just they're division rivals, and the Bears will probably ask way too much from Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota's going to be in on a trade with the Bears in general. So now we get to the Denver Broncos at 12. Denver has a first this year and a third this year. No second because they traded it for Sean Payton. And first this year, first next year. I don't know, man. I'm curious to see where the whole Russell Wilson situation will take them. There's no way Russ can be coming back next year. Russ, of all the options that I've talked about, including the Giants and the Jets, that seems like a team that will take on dead money to kick a guy out, to tell a guy to, hit the curb. If that's the case, if you're spending so much of your salary cap on dead money on making sure X player isn't being here, you need all the draft picks you can have to make up just salary wise for for that lost money you wouldn't be able to spend otherwise. Like, if Russ is going to be, I don't know, I can pull it up, but a 40 to 60 million dead cap hit this year, might be even more, could be 80. That's a lot of money you're losing at said positions, especially, might be skill positions on defense, of linemen, could be at wide receiver. I don't know that the Broncos would want to move all those picks with the dead cap that they know is coming for Russ. So the Broncos are probably not in on a trade. Maybe on a trade for Fields, not on a trade for the first overall pick. That's just how it is. The Las Vegas Raiders. I am so curious with this team. They have the capital first and second this year, first and second next year, to go and get the first overall pick. They don't have a lot of pieces offensively. They don't have a lot of pieces in general, if we're being quite frank. Any real, DJ Moore-esque trade assets. Unless they want to throw Davante Adams in the mix, which I think if you're moving up to first overall or trading for Justin Fields, if you're bringing in a new quarterback regardless, you're going to want a safety net for him to throw to, and Davante Adams is that safety net. It's not Hunter Renfrow or Jacoby Myers. I'm sorry. Like, Devontae does that. He does that. He can fit that role. He can be that guy. Kind of like D Hop this year with Will Levis. Hopefully to a higher stake. With that, I could also see the Raiders being a team that, because they're in Vegas, because they're a show, because they love the spotlight, they crave the spotlight. The Raiders are a team I could see that in the 11th hour pulls the trigger and makes a deal for first overall. Do I think they should? Probably not. But not for nothing, the Raiders have also been one of the worst drafting teams over the last 5, 6 years. The Raiders draft picks don't usually hit. If they think they can get a guy first overall that they know will be a success, then it's worth doing. If they don't think they can find somebody, then you're kind of hooped. You just continue going and continue rebuilding, and maybe eventually it'll work out, but the key really with the Raiders is figuring out who's going to be the coach on the offense of the ball, offensive side of the ball as well. Antonio Pierce, I think he really should be the head coach for the Raiders. He's had a really good stint at the interim head coach this year. And if you're going to go defensive head coach, you got to find a really strong offensive coordinator. I don't know who that is. I'm not sure who that guy is and where we go with that. But I do love the idea of the Raiders just, you know what, we're going to go for it. We're pivoting and we're going to go make a move, be a team, and have a guy to build around, have a guy to sell jerseys for, you know. Put a name and a face to a city that would love a football star that has a quarterback, especially, you know, highly touted, highly promoted athlete. That's what the Raiders need and what I would think the city of Vegas wants from a football perspective. So we'll see. I don't know. New Orleans Saints, they finished 9-8 this year. They're picking 14th. They have the draft capital to do so. They don't really, I don't think they have any great options to send to the Bears for a DJ Moore type guy. Jimmy Graham just isn't that anymore, unfortunately. I don't really know that the Saints know what they want to do or who they are. Are they good? Are they bad? Are we rebuilding? Are we trying to contend? They had a winning record in spite of feeling like one of the most frustrating teams in the league this year. And that's coming from a Seahawks fan. So I don't think that trading a whole bunch of draft picks for a quarterback is going to solve that or fixes that. It kind of almost pours gasoline on the fire in a little way. You know, it's like, you know, having a baby to save a marriage. That's kind of what Caleb Williams or Drake May would feel like for the Saints. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they want him or, you know, Caleb or Drake. Maybe they want either one of them. I just don't know. And again, the Derek Carr thing hasn't really been great. The Jameis Winston backup is definitely not great. Not ideal. So if they can find an option anywhere that is an improvement, I'd say go for it. But I don't know that they're going to be willing to pay such a high price for that guy. But we'll see. I'm not expecting too much out of New Orleans in this whole draft process. There's the Indianapolis Colts, who have more or less been kind of as not stingy, but very, very tempered. They like their guys. You know, they don't typically move or pivot off of stuff. They will have Shane Steichen back at quarterback for a second year, or back at head coach for a second year. They'll have Anthony Richardson at quarterback. They are, unless they really don't like Richardson, unless his injury isn't healing well, I don't see them giving up that kind of capital to go get another quarterback. I just, that doesn't seem like something they'd be do or something they'd be interested in. The Seattle Seahawks, they're picking 16th. They don't have a second rounder in 2025, and they don't have a second rounder in 2024. I don't think they would trade Geno to make a deal happen. I think Geno is a guy who the Seahawks value more than anybody, more than any other team. So that makes it tough to trade a guy when you like him more than the team you're trading him to does, if that makes sense. The Seahawks have a lot of problems. Not a lot of problems. They have some issues. Quarterback's not one of them. Caleb Williams, Drake May is not going to solve those issues. So I wouldn't really be spending too much time on Seattle making a big quarterback move in the offseason. That just doesn't seem like the right thing to do in this moment. Jacksonville Jaguars, kind of same thing. I think they have their guy in Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they want to move on from him. Again, obviously the season's been really disappointing considering they went 8-3, finished 9-8. They got their guy. I think similarly, they have their issues. It's not a quarterback. They need to spend the right capital on the right issues that need to be addressed, and it's just not a QB. It's just not a QB. Cincinnati Bengals. I know there's going to be some people who say that because, Browning did a serviceable job without Burrow, that they're maybe looking at a quarterback switch. I don't. It's Joe Scheisse. It's Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has forever altered the trajectory of the Cincinnati Bengals franchise. They have never been more popular and more interesting in my entire life, and they're just going to move on from that dude to an unknown. I again, seems very unlikely. They like their guy. They have a good system. Just get Burrow some O-line help so he's not injured every other year, and you're going to be fine. You're going to be golden. So I have a couple different categories. The best team, the teams that make the most sense to trade up for first overall, to me, would be the Jets. If they can find a way to, move on from Rodgers and make all that money work. I could see I think the Jets are a really good option. The Atlanta Falcons, really strong contender. Another team that I have written down, and I could see do it, if they really wanted to make a splash, if they really wanted to fix the quarterback position, is Pittsburgh. They have a first and second rounder this year, first and second rounder next year. They have, I don't know who the guy would be, but they have somebody on offense, a wide receiver, one of the running backs they could trade to make this deal happen. Pittsburgh's like New England, kind of quiet. They don't like a lot of media attention on them. They just go about and do their business, very respectable. And if the Steelers do something like this of trading, up to first overall, it's very rare. They don't usually trade. They very rarely do they trade altogether at all. And only one time since 1967 have they traded out of the first round. So they don't usually trade up. They don't usually trade out of the first round. They're pretty much just like content with whatever pick they get. They're going to get a guy and they're going to like him and they're going to make it more or less work. But if the Steelers want to take things up a notch, especially with how good their division is and has shown to be, between the Ravens with Lamar Jackson this year, the Browns with Joe Flacco this year, the Bengals previously, not so much this year, but the Bengals with Burrow, all of those teams are contenders. All of them look really sharp. The Steelers somehow are sneaking into the playoffs with 9-8. But there's still, it feels like, behind the eight ball when it comes to the rest of the teams in their division. If they could get one of those top quarterbacks, that's, I think, what would put them from there, like from here to the top. Probably not going to happen because they don't usually trade, but it would be a fun option, nevertheless, to see Pittsburgh try and assert themselves in not just the AFC North, but the AFC, it'd be interesting to see them try and take that step. The worst teams that could trade for the first overall pick. I think New England, there's just so much uncertainty regarding that team, regarding that organization, who's gonna be coaching, who's making the personnel decisions. I don't know that I would want to be walking into that situation, but that's just me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers I have as a poor option just because I the Bucks I still think are paying for their Super Bowl run. They owe Chris Godwin some money. I think Mike Evans has one more year on his deal after this. Devin White, I want to say, is coming up here shortly for an extension. They just have dudes that need to get paid, and I'm not sure that they're gonna pay at all. That's just there's bigger things going on with the Buccaneers organization outside of the first overall pick that need to be addressed, but it will affect the first overall pick should Tampa Bay go and get it. I don't think they would. I think they need the pick. They need to draft some guys to keep the roster building going, to make the team stronger and better. It's not one of the first overall picks or a quarterback. That's just not great. Not a great use of resources. So yeah, my underrated pick for trading up in the draft to get the first overall pick would be Las Vegas. That's a team that they could use a guy. If they can find a way to make first overall work or even get Fields without having to give up Devontae Adams or Josh Jacobs, well done. Well done. Good job. That's impressive. And it's, I would consider worth doing if you're the Raiders. But we'll see. Overrated, I have the Seahawks. Again, I just don't think the Seahawks are going to be making a splash at quarterback. Geno is solid. And when it comes to quarterbacks, when it comes to trying to fix any position, quarterback is probably the hardest to do so, because it while it is absolutely worth upgrading your quarterback position whenever you can, teams just aren't able to do so. Like, teams just like, okay, depending on how you feel about Geno Smith, and I'm a Geno guy, I don't know, like, you're not going to be able to trade for Herbert because they're not going to, the Chargers won't want to trade for Herbert. Chiefs obviously aren't trading Mahomes. Bills aren't trading Allen. Cowboys maybe would trade Prescott, but they would view Prescott as more valuable over Geno Smith, surely. I do. You're not trading for Tua. You're probably not trading for Trevor Lawrence. You wouldn't trade, Geno Smith for Brock Purdy because you just aren't. You're probably not trading for Kyler because there's so much money. Like, that's just it. Like, people talk about, like, oh, they should go and get this guy. They should go and get this guy. It's like, if you can go get an upgrade, go and do it. It's worth the while to go upgrade a quarterback. You're just not gonna find many options and many contenders when you're trying to go from, a top 10 quarterback to a top 5 quarterback. It's just so tough and so rare, and the situation has to be right to do so. That's why this Aaron Rodgers, trade is still a little baffling, but so rare in the fact that these quarterbacks are just like rare cars. They just so rarely become available. They so rarely become available that everybody wants one as soon as it's available, and it's in limited amount, limited quantity. You can't do anything about it. You can try your best and hope to succeed, and if you don't, you don't. So that's this. This is all going back to why I don't think the Seahawks are going to move on from Geno. It's because it's just extremely tough to do so, and I don't know that Williams or May add more value than what Gino is already bringing to the table. That's my hot take. In conclusion, If I'm the Bears, I keep Justin Fields and I trade first overall pick, try and trade down, get more assets, collect more picks. If you can get two more first round picks, do it. Absolutely. Go for it. Keep Fields. I like Fields. He's a really good quarterback. He also understands the Bears offense better than any quarterback. And I don't know that the Bears offense is that great to begin with. There's definitely room, there's definitely improvement made from week one to week 18 from the Bears offense. But I don't like their offensive coaching staff because I have a lot of questionable takes about them. I just think, maybe it was early in the year. I'm thinking of, routes being run in the same direction, weird concepts that don't really make sense, odd play calls. Point is, I think the Bears have a really good quarterback. I don't know that, again, the guys going first and second are going to be that much of an upgrade over Fields. I also haven't been watching the tape. I haven't been studying as much as I should. This is just my initial reaction. Thinking about if you had to ask me right now, keep Fields, trade down in the draft, see if you can get more picks, more chance, more lottery tickets. Why have one when you can have four? You have a, four times the chance of succeeding. That's kind of how I feel with the Bears. Just gives you more ammunition in the roster building process that is so difficult and so challenging for people to do so at the in the NFL. It just is. So if it really, I'll end it off with this. The two teams that will trade up if they if they can make this work, the two teams that will trade for the first overall pick will either be Atlanta or Vegas. That's my hot take. I'm going to stick with that. We'll see. I'm not confident in either one of those teams doing it, but I think they have the highest percentage chance of doing so. It's really too bad that the Jets are sticking with Aaron Rodgers because I feel like they could absolutely make a star out of one of those guys, but who knows? Maybe they wouldn't come to New York. Maybe they all hate the Jets. Although that is kind of funny, like if you like hate the Jets, but you fly in on a jet. So you must like flying jets, but not. Okay. Anyways, it's late. I'm making really bad dad jokes. That's the podcast this week. Let me know what you think the Bears should do. Should the Bears trade Fields and a first overall pick? Should they just trade the first overall pick, keep Fields? Should they just trade Fields? Let me know. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Reach out, let me know. My name is Ian McNaughton. You can follow me on Instagram at Ian McNaughty. I think that's also my Twitter slash X handle, because apparently it's X. Go follow me. Check out the podcast. I'm trying to remember how I do hit the outro. Go check out the podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Go tell your friends. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate all you listening. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to me and all that I have to say. You guys are awesome. So thankful for the support. And it's been great talking to you for the last however many minutes, probably an hour. I don't know. Anyways, that's the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Peace out.